Well, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here this night for my new weekly program here on Brighteon TV called The Tenpenny Files on Your Health. For the last 22 years, I've given literally thousands of interviews on the radio, TV, podcast, live conferences, seminars, and almost all of the conference time that I've been talking, in one way or another, it's been associated with vaccines. Well, I've been a medical doctor since 1985, and I've been doing integrative medicine since 1996. And as a trained ER doc who is the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years, and then an integrative medicine clinic now here in Cleveland since 1996, I have a lot of other things I'd like to talk about. So you'll see this show as a classroom, an educational setting with a few slides for talking points and discussions about topics you may not know much about and will be valuable for your health and all these things that can be individualized and personalized with medical advice.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com. If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Well, hello again, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and welcome to the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. So this is a weekly show, kind of classroom style. I intend to have this be an educational evening that we spend together to talk about things that you may or may not know a lot about. And I'm hoping that this, if you do know something about these topics, that it will edify what you already know. And if you don't know about these topics, that you'll walk away from these sessions going, huh, I didn't know that. I'm really glad that I sat in and listened to Dr. Tenpenny talk about this. Well, I thought that a great way to kick off this show would be to talk about what is a doctor of osteopathic medicine. I mean, I'm a DO. That's what Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine actually really stands for. But as in many years as I've been doing this, and I would do a lot of community talks, and I would ask people, I would go, there might be 50 people there, there might be 5,000 people there. And I would say, how many people sitting in this room actually know what a DO is? And it always amazed me after all of these years how few hands would actually go up, that maybe 10 or 15% of the room. And as a member of the American Osteopathic Association, I know that they have about a $26 million a year budget for marketing. I think I do a better job than what they do. So I want to talk a little bit about what a doctor of osteopathic medicine is and why I decided to be a DO as opposed to being an MD, which stands for medical doctor. So osteopathic medicine was founded by a medical doctor, Dr. Andrew Taylor Still, who was the son of a Methodist minister. He received his MD degree from a College of Physicians and Surgeons in Kansas City, Kansas. And he served as a state legislator and attained the rank of major during the Civil War. So during the Civil War, you know, this was around the 1860s, 1870s. After the war, Dr. Still became increasingly enchanted by the accepted medical practices of the time. You know, that's kind of the way most of DOs should be practicing now, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And those things at that point in time were bloodletting, blistering, the administration of massive doses of mercury, antimony, arsenic, and other toxic, poisonous compounds, and actually even called purgatives that they called tonics. So you can imagine that if he was watching this during the Civil War and listening to his people be very, very sick, he was like, why are we doing this? Why should we actually be adding all these toxic things? Well, if physicians were thinking today, they would also be thinking, why are we adding all of these toxic things to people's bodies? You know, after all, most of the pharmaceutical medicines that you take, most of the prescription medicines, are petroleum-based. They come from a compound, they're made in a laboratory, and a lot of them are petroleum-based. And because of that, you're never born with a deficiency of a drug. You know, with the sole exception of perhaps insulin and perhaps vitamin K, if you happen to be a hemophiliac, there really aren't any other medications that are life necessary that you were born to be deficient of. So when you have high blood pressure or you have a headache, you have pain, you are not drug deficient. You have something else that was going on. And even back in the late 1800s, when Andrew Taylor Still started looking at this, he said, why are we giving these horribly toxic things to people and somehow thinking that that's going to make them better? So in 1892, after 30 years of intense study of anatomy, Dr. Still founded the American School of Osteopathy in Kirksville, Missouri. And the other thing about osteopathy is it practices from certain principles that allopathic medicine doesn't have. There are certain founding principles inside of osteopathy that make it different, that set it apart. In fact, when he was talking about founding the American School of Osteopathy, it was absolutely a revolutionary time. And all the way up into the 1960s, many DOs were not allowed to practice inside of allopathic hospitals. That's why DOs during that period of time, from about the 1920s, all the way up until the 1960s or 70s, they had their own hospital system where they had residents and interns, and there was the osteopathic hospitals and then the allopathic hospitals, because the allopaths wouldn't allow the DOs to come on board. Now, why did I decide that I really wanted to be an osteopath? Well, I grew up in a chiropractic family that my grandfather, my father, three uncles, and two cousins were chiropractors. And I got my first chiropractic adjustment when I was just about a week or so old. I was a C-section baby, and my dad thought my head was kind of crooked, and so he adjusted my neck when I was just a week or so old. And I grew up on chiropractic adjustments, and I knew the value of it. And my dad was a very, very gifted chiropractor. He had very gifted hands. He was very talented. He never took x-rays. He always felt like if you were really good at your job, if you're really good at what you could do, that you could feel what the problem was. You could feel what osteopaths call the somatic dysfunction, and you could make those corrections by doing physiological testing. He never had x-ray machines in his office, and he had a principle that if he saw someone for four or five times and they were not getting precipitously better, then he felt that there was something else going on other than just the structural problems that a chiropractor could fix, and he would send them back to their medical doctor. Well, when I decided to go to medical school when I was 4 years old, I said, you know, I wanted to grow up to be a doctor. I grew up with Marcus Welby, MD, and Ben Casey, and that just kind of tells you how old I am. So I grew up with all those things, and my mom's younger brother was also a chiropractor, and he used to come over to the house, and they used to sit around and talk about cases, and I would hear amazing stories of people who couldn't walk in. And when they were seen by my dad or by my uncle, they were fully functional when they walked out. My dad also took care of a lot of animals. I grew up on a farm. We grew up in a way out in the country, and we had horses and dogs and cats. And I grew up with a horse from the time I was like in junior high school. And my dad used to take care of dogs. I can't tell you how many times that a patient of his would have a dog that jumped wrong off of something, or that maybe got hit by a car, and they'd bring the dog over to our house in the trunk of their car, my dad would do chiropractic on their back and on their shoulders and make them be all better. I remember one of the cases that he had, that he had, there was a horse that had on a halter and was tethered to a stake and got wrapped around the stake to where it had twisted its head to where it could not move its head back to its normal position. And the owner of the horse came over to the house and got my dad. My dad came over and he looked and he looked and he knew about the anatomy that he'd learned in humans. And he said, it can't be that much different in horses. And I was with him and I watched him do this, where he actually put his knee in the atlas, the top upper vertebrae of that horse, and took its head and kind of yanked on it and pushed that horse's top vertebrae back into place. And the horse got up and went on about its business and was just fine. So hands-on medicine, it's not only what chiropractors can do, it's what osteopaths are also trained to do. It was what A.T. Still founded osteopathy on, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's a little difference between chiropractic manipulation and osteopathic manipulation. I would say, having grown up with chiropractic and having been an osteopath for 30 years now, that one of the main differences between chiropractic adjustments and osteopathic adjustments is osteopaths use the fascia, use the muscles, and use things a little bit more in balancing the whole body instead of just focusing on the spine, which is what chiropractors are focused to do. So osteopaths do the head. There's cranial osteopathy that we're going to talk about in another session here at the Tenpenny Files. We'll talk about cranial osteopathy and why that's so important to children and particularly babies. And then the cervical spine, the entire spinal cord, the entire pelvis, and then all the different extremities. And we use muscle energy. We use muscle testing. We use work with the fascia. We work with the nerves. There's actually techniques called the Barrel techniques that actually are called visceral manipulation, where you can actually use your hands externally to manipulate problems that are happening with your internal organs. So for 1 year, this was quite a few years ago now, there were some chiropractic classes that were going on in Chicago. And I was thinking about opening more of a training program inside of my office for young osteopaths that were just graduating from medical school, or that maybe they were still medical students. And so I had gone to this chiropractic session. I went to two of them, flew in for these two training sessions at the at one of the chiropractic schools in Chicago. And it was so interesting hanging out with these young chiropractors. And we learned that we did many of the same things, like many of the same things together, but that we use different language and we use different words for how we adjusted and for the type of technique that we used. And for we call the things being out of alignment, we called it somatic dysfunction, and chiropractors called it out of alignment. And they had different language, but we were saying the same things. And there was so much argument that had been going on for all these years between the chiropractors and the osteopaths, and which started first, and did A.T. Still steal this from D.D. Palmer, or they kind of started at the same time. Osteopathy started in Kirksville, Missouri, which is in the northeast part of the state of Missouri, and chiropractic started in Davenport, Iowa, which is about 2 hours north of there. So there's always this contention, and I found it to be just so interesting to go and spend two weekends. It was two weekends in a row, and then I didn't go back after that because life got busy and things changed. But to have conversations with these chiropractors, to realize that chiropractors and osteopaths really need to work together. In fact, in my very first clinic, which is in Findlay, Ohio, back in 1994, some of my biggest referrals were from chiropractors. And that chiropractors couldn't inject, they couldn't use acupuncture at the time, and they didn't do cranial manipulation or work with the sacrum, which we will talk about in a future show of the Tenpenny Files. Their techniques were very different than osteopathic techniques. So they would send the patient in to see me, and I would do a little osteopathy on their head and their sacrum, and I would inject some trigger points, and I would do some things with acupuncture, and they would be just fine. And the patient would say to me, well, Should I continue to see you or should I go back to see my chiropractor? And I would always tell them, go back to see your chiropractor. He or she was the one who sent you here. Consider me to be your consultant, be your kind of expert, your specialist. If you need something more than your chiropractor can provide, he or she will send them over to see me. But other than that, go back and see your chiropractor who's taken really good care of you. So I've always found it advantageous to work with the musculoskeletal things with chiropractors a little bit differently than what osteopaths do. But we are all working together to work on the musculoskeletal system to make the patients be better. And I think it's great to synergistically work together. So what are some of the principles of osteopathy that I believe, you know, acupuncturists, I took the UCLA medical acupuncture course for physicians in 1995. And so I've always incorporated acupuncture into my treatment program when I would do osteopathic manipulation. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about acupuncture on a different session. And I may bring in a couple of different acupuncturists to have this conversation with me because there are lots of different types of acupuncture. I mean, when most of the time when lay people hear the word acupuncture, they think it's all the same. But I say that acupuncture is kind of like saying the word cars. There's lots of different kinds of cars and different kinds of cars for different reasons. There's sports cars that are going fast. There's cars that are like big, heavy trucks that pull things. There are, you know, Lamborghinis, which are real high-end expensive cars, but they all have basic elements. They all have the basic elements of a car. Well, acupuncture has the basic elements of acupuncture. They use needles. There's meridians that you test. There's pulse therapy. There's tongue therapy. You can look at the fingernails and there's like signs that you can take from that. But there are different techniques inside of acupuncture for different things, for lots of different things. And we'll save that for another session that we're going to have. And I may bring in a couple of acupuncturists with me to have this conversation about the different types of acupuncture and how you can use different acupunctures for different things. So let's look at the first principle. Because allopathic medicine doesn't have these principles. And the first principle inside of osteopathy is that the body functions as a unit. No parts function independently, which I think is just really amazing. I mean, think about when you go to your conventional doctors now, when you go to your regular allopathic MD doctors, you've got one that functions as the cardiologist. And then you've got the gastroenterologist, and then you've got the ears, nose, and throat doctor, and then you've got the kidney doctor, and then you've got the bladder doctor, and then you've got the orthopedic doctor. And if you ask the orthopedic doctor something about your heart, like if you tell him that you've been having these irregular heartbeats, he would say, go see the cardiologist. Or if you're telling the cardiologist, you know, my knee's really been bothering me, he would say, go see the sports medicine doctor or go see the orthopedic doctor. In allopathic medicine, we have divided the body up into parts, and we see each of these parts as individuals. And that's why sometimes that patients end up with seeing all these different doctors. They end up with all these different medications from different people, and kind of the left hand doesn't always know what the right hand is doing. And they end up with medications that may be contradictory to each other. I know my good friend, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who is now, I believe she's still living in New Zealand, but I remember spending a lot of time with her when she was still practicing here in the US. And Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, she was a nephrologist. She was a kidney specialist. And she said that most of the time when she saw patients in the hospital, she spent most of the time with those patients trying to figure out if the 22 different prescription medicines were somehow interacting with each other. And because they were interacting with each other, they were causing this new symptom that was driving the patient to come to the hospital. And that she spent most of her time trying to get the doctors to work together and get people off of unnecessary medicine. Now, as an osteopathic physician, if doctors really practice like an osteopath, they look at the body function as a unit, that what's happening in your knee is making your back hurt. And if your back's hurting, it's making your shoulder hurt. And your shoulder may be hurting because you've got cardiac problems. And you may have cardiac problems because you're not eating appropriately. So the number one and the first principle of osteopathic medicine is that the body functions as a unit and no parts function independently. The abnormalities in the structure and function are already adversely affecting the whole. So sometimes I explain this to patients in the office. It's if you have a door on hinges, and the structure function of the door is that the hinges need to be aligned. And when you push the door shut, the latch has to be in the right place so that that door can swing and that hinge can swing easily without any ratcheting, without any sticking. That is a structure function relationship. That door with the hinges, that's a structure function relationship. Your body is the same way. That if things are out of alignment, it can adversely affect the whole. And the key component to healthcare is the musculoskeletal system, which comprises more than 60% of the body mass, which is always shocking to me how little allopathic physicians actually know about muscles and bones. Unless you're an orthopod, unless you're an orthopedic surgeon or a sports medicine doctor, or perhaps someone that does a physical therapy, everything is an internal organ problem. If something hurts, it's because something is referring externally. If your back hurts, it's not because your back's out of alignment. It's because you've got a kidney problem. If your stomach hurts, it's not because your back is out of alignment. It's because you have an ulcer, or because you have reflux, or you have GERD. Or it's difficult to breathe, it's not because your ribs are out of alignment. It's because there's something wrong with your lungs and you need an inhaler, or you need some sort of a medication to make you breathe better. 60% of your body mass is your musculoskeletal system. And I always say when patients come in with various problems, let's go for the lowest hanging fruit first. There, that's good. And let's make sure that your structure function relationships are all fine. If your ribs are back in alignment, you can breathe better. If your pelvis is in alignment, your menstrual cycle periods, your cramps go away. If it makes your prostate work better, if you're a man, if you've got your neck is in alignment, then your headaches go away. Let's look at the musculoskeletal system first. And that is what a well-trained, board-certified osteopathic physician does. I'm board-certified in osteopathic manipulation, osteopathic medicine. In fact, I'm one of only about 400 doctors in the whole country that are board-certified in that. Now, having said that, every DO in America is trained in knowing those things. It's just that as they got incorporated into allopathic medicine and the insurance-based model, they kind of went with the easy thing to do, which was their prescription pad. So all elements, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, environmental, all these elements of diet, sleep, and exercise, all of these things need to be taken into consideration to figure out what the patient needs. Can we just talk about your physical health without dealing with your emotional health? And if we talk about your emotional health, you know, because many times I believe that that something is wrong mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, that is causing people to have an external manifestation and having a physical symptom. And most patients will say, well, if I physically felt better, I can deal with my emotional stuff. But the truth of the matter is that you need to deal with your mental, emotional, and spiritual things first. And let me give you an example. If you have an emotional problem, let's say that you're struggling with all of these COVID things and the depression of knowing that people that you love have died from these shots, or they've gotten these shots and you're really worried about that, or that you've got a spiritual problem, you've got a spiritual crisis in your life, or you've got depression and anxiety because of your job or because of something going on in your marriage. If I was going to take you into an operating room, could I do an emotionectomy on you? Could I cut you open and cut out that bad emotion and make it go away? No, I really couldn't do that. Why is that? Because emotions and psychological and spiritual things are pervasive. They're in every cell of your body. So in order to correct whatever physical problems that you're having, you need to deal with that from a mental, emotional, and spiritual perspective first. And then look at diet. What sort of things in your diet are causing you to possibly be depressed? How well are you sleeping? And it's not so much about the number of hours that you sleep, because different people have different requirements, but what they actually have, what really is important is that you are getting the right number of hours of sleep for you. You know, in the area of sleep medicine, they actually talk about that some people are long cycle sleepers and some people are short cycle sleepers, which means that some people need a whole lot more sleep than others. And if you need more sleep, you're never going to get away with not getting much sleep, and vice versa. People like me that only need like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, when I sleep really long, I don't sleep well at all. I don't feel well the next day. So a good osteopath would take all of these things into consideration. They would look at you as a whole unit. They would look at all these independent things. They would discuss these things of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual things with you, and not just worry about running off and getting a blood test or getting an x-ray and thinking that that was going to solve everything. Because what if the blood tests and what if the x-rays are normal? So with that, we've given you a little bit of a background and started to talk about the principles of osteopathic medicine. We have a couple of more to talk about, and we'll be talking about that when we come back in just a couple of minutes after this commercial break. We'll continue to talk about the principles of osteopathic medicine.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Mike Adams here, with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border, who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
All right, and welcome back. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. If you're just joining us here halfway through the Tenpenny Files on Your Health, this is our first event. We're doing this, our first event this evening, and I'm having a conversation about what is an osteopathic physician? What is a DO? We talked about one of the principles, which I think is really important, that the body functions as a unit and not as individual parts, and we see everything that all comes together. I think that that's really super important. So let's go on to principle number two. Principle number two is that the body has the inherent ability to heal itself and maintain its health when given the appropriate building blocks. So what are those appropriate building blocks? Well, for one thing that's very important is that health is an inside-out phenomenon. It isn't so much about what you put on your body. It isn't so much about working out so hard at the gym. It's about everything that happens on the inside. It's an inside-out phenomenon, that it's what you eat, it's what you drink, it's the kind of supplements that you take, it's the kind of digestive enzymes that you take, and how incredibly important is it to know what's happening inside of your body. You know, we talk an awful lot at my clinic, which is Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, which is in Cleveland, Ohio. It's in a suburb called Middleburg Heights. We spend an awful lot of time with patients talking about their diet, what they are eating, what supplements they should be taking. And we actually order some specialized types of blood tests, some specialized blood tests that can actually identify the supplements that you are missing. Not only, you know, a lot of times doctors will just order a serum blood test and it will just show you what's missing from your serum. Well, the blood tests that we do tell you what's missing from inside of your cells. And it does this by measuring the nutrients inside of your white blood cells. So this inside out process is very, very important. And rather than just guessing, sometimes it's just better to get some blood tests, urine tests, sometimes saliva tests, things that you need to know to just tell you what your body is actually needing. Because all of our food has been depleted. It's all been depleted. Either the soils are depleted or there's glyphosate on it, like a Roundup, and there's all these different things that have made our food not be nearly as healthy, and it can't just be, food just can't be our medicine like it used to be. Another principle, part of this, that the body has an inherent ability to heal itself, is an osteopathic principle that's called the rule of the artery is supreme, which means that circulation is the key to health. So circulation, and as we know from all these things that have been happening with these COVID shots recently, about things like blood clots and myocarditis and microcirculation problems, which we're going to be talking a lot about in the next several weeks here at the Tenpenny Files, because February is Healthy Heart Month. And so we're going to be talking throughout the month of February on different things that you can do for your arteries, for your heart, for your blood vessels, for nutrients that you need to take in order to keep your entire cardiovascular system healthy. Well, the rule of the artery supreme from an osteopathic perspective means that circulation is important. If you have a blockage in the lower part of your leg and you're not getting circulation to your feet, or you have a blockage in your fingers and your hand, you have something called Raynaud's syndrome, and you're not getting good circulation, that those organs that are deprived of oxygen, nutrients, red blood cells, things that are being carried into those organ systems, you cannot have healthy organs if you do not have healthy arteries. And we're going to be talking about the endothelium, the endothelial lining, microcirculation clots, all of the things with myocarditis and a lot of the things with the COVID shots in upcoming episodes of the Tenpenny Files on your health. So the third principle is also very important. And again, this is kind of like the first one. The first principle that says that the body has the ability to heal itself. The second principle, which talks about the different things that you can do from it, healing yourself from an inside out perspective. The structure-function relationship overrides everything that the osteopathic physician has been trained to do. Remember, A.T. Still started the American School of Osteopathy by looking at structure-function relationships and what was happening with the musculoskeletal system. Osteopathic physicians refer to these abnormal areas in their body as somatic dysfunction. That's when things are out of alignment. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say to me, you know, I've got knee pain because they took an x-ray and it's bone on bone. Well, guess what? Bone on bone doesn't necessarily cause you to have knee pain. Newsflash, your orthopedic surgeon, your family doctor has taken x-rays and said it's bone on bone, which makes it sound like it's grinding and it's just terrible. That's only true in about 10 to 15% of the time because bone does not have nerve tissue. Your cartilage has nerve tissue. The ligaments in your around your knee and the muscles around your knee have nerve tissue, but the bone itself doesn't feel pain. You could stick a needle in a bone and you're not going to feel it. So that bone on bone just means that you've got dysregulation and you've got other things that are causing inflammation. So those sorts of musculoskeletal problems, the pain can be coming from somewhere else, or it is something that needs to be treated from a different perspective instead of running right off to do surgery. So it's one of the things that I do want to mention, and we'll talk about this a lot in for future episodes, is that surgery, unless it's an acute emergency, unless you have acute appendicitis, unless you have broken bones that the bones are sticking through the skin, and unless you've got a blood clot in your heart or in your brain, that it's an acute emergency, surgery should be your option of last choice. You should try everything else first because you can't unsurgery. I mean, once you cut something out or you make a cut or you do something to the skin or to the muscle or the bones, you can't undo it. And even though it may, you want to get a replacement, a knee replacement, a hip replacement, you need to think about trying everything else first because of this principle number three, these function structure relationships. It's really, really important. These are defined as impaired, and this is one of the things that we memorize when we're in medical school. We take a test on this. What is a somatic dysfunction? It is defined as impaired or altered function of the related components of the body's framework, the skeleton, the joints, the muscles, and related nerves, arteries, veins, and lymphatics. It's all of your musculoskeletal system. And remember, we said earlier that your body is 60 to 65% of your body is made up of muscles and bones. And probably, depending on how much you weigh, probably some fat in there too, which kind of gathers around your middle. It's not your internal organs. So taking care of your musculoskeletal system is really important. And one of the easiest things that you can do is actually just stretching. Morning stretching. It's one of the things I do every morning before I even get out of bed in the morning is just to do a full, straight, long body stretch. Take your feet and push your heels forward, not your toes down, but your heels forward, like to push forward, and then stretch your arms out on the side of the bed this way so it stretches across your chest as much as you can over top of your head. Maybe do some angel swings, some snow angels like you were laying on the snow. Take a couple of really deep breaths to just stretch, do a long body stretch, not twisting, not turning, just to do a long body stretch. Before you even get up in the morning, think about what that does to improve your circulation, get some oxygen going, take a couple of really, really deep breaths. That is a super simple thing that every single person listening to this could do first thing in the morning. Sometimes if you stretch and your feet are out straight, sometimes that causes a cramp in the back of your legs. So that's why I suggest pushing down like you're pushing down with your heels. When you push down with your heels, it's going to stretch out the back of your calves. It's going to stretch out the backs of your thighs. And then that big body stretch across the front like this and let your arms just lay straight out on your side by your bed. That stretches and opens up that entire heart area and lung area and just gets that whole circulation going. That's a structure function relationship. That's looking at what you're doing for your whole body. And that's before you even get out of bed in the morning, taking a little bit of care to your musculoskeletal system. A student can be taught to palpate abnormalities in each of these elements, which can be associated with common health problems. And we've talked about that a little bit already, about that structure-function relationships. If things are out of alignment, they can adversely affect your internal organs. It's a bidirectional system. And allopathic medicine basically thinks it's an inside out, that whatever's ailing you is caused from an internal organ is the pathology, is the problem. And if your heart hurts, it's making your shoulder hurt. If you have angina, which can be sometimes your heart making your shoulder hurt, but what if it's just your shoulder? And you go to all those tests and you get a stress test and you get a cardiac MRI and you get a calcium score and you get all these things and they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You go, yeah, but my arm hurts. And sometimes it radiates down to my elbow. It's a musculoskeletal problem. So one of the most important takeaways I want you to be thinking about what is the difference between a DO that actually practices like a DO and an MD allopath, is how much emphasis that we put on the health of the musculoskeletal system in stretching and taking care of your body, knowing that sometimes the things that are hurting really are from your muscles and bones, and that muscles really can be the problem. I'll talk about this in a later session on the Tenpenny Files, but there's a really simple technique that we do at our clinic at Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center that I actually learned from a class that I attended out on the West Coast in Seattle. And it injects sugar water. We call it MIT, standing for mannitol injection therapy. And this sugar water goes in and decreases the inflammation of the nerves and the muscles. And it works quite miraculously for many people. And so on another session, we'll talk about mannitol injection therapy. And I'll give you some referrals of doctors that do this therapy that you can find that are closer to home and places that you can go and look to find someone who's been trained in this therapy that sometimes is called neuroprolotherapy, which is a long, long word. We just call it mannitol injection therapy because that's what we're actually doing is injecting mannitol. And it really does help with that inflammation. So the use of osteopathic manual medicine to recover from illness without drugs and surgery was really revolutionary back in the 1880s. And honestly, I think it's pretty revolutionary in the 2000s and the 2021, 22, 23s. Osteopathy's primary contribution to health and wellness is this integration of the body and looking at the musculoskeletal system and looking at the body as a whole, what you eat, the supplements you take, the vitamins you take, the sleep, exercise, the purified water, eating good food, eating all of these different things. That's really super important. And when I say osteopaths who should practice like an osteopath is because sadly, many of my colleagues, if not most of my colleagues, unless you saw them sign their name and they put D period O, which stands for Doctor of Osteopathy behind their name instead of MD behind their name, you wouldn't know that they had gotten all of this extra training. Everything that I've told you about and taught you here is taught to every single osteopathic physician when they're in medical school. And sadly, many of them toss it out the window or throw it underneath the bus as soon as they get their prescription pad and they can start more easily practicing like an allopathic doctor that just orders x-rays and blood tests and writes a prescription as a symptom-suppressing agent. And we talk so much, we hear so much nowadays about, you know, I can't tell you, I've been on countless conversations and conference calls with people who are like, we need a new healthcare system. We need something new. You know, what we have is broken. It's not working. That's 100% true. It's 100% true. And if you heard my This Week with Dr. T, this Monday morning edition, that was Monday morning today, and actually it's aired, it's next week. I recorded it today. It'll be next Monday morning with Twyla Braze talking about the problems with the intrinsic problems with the healthcare system. You will see that everybody thinks they want a new healthcare system. What they really want is the system that they have. They want it to work better, which is simply not going to be possible. You know, I've used this expression a lot. It's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. It doesn't pretty up the pig. It just annoys the pig and you still have the problem. Well, the underlying problems are that we have separated the body into all these individual parts and you go to all these different doctors for all these different things instead of looking at the body as a whole, instead of incorporating mental, emotional, spiritual issues and cleaning those things up before we deal with just the physical side of whatever's ailing people. In fact, I've said for the 20 some years that I've been in the practice of medicine now, I've said, I hope there will come a day that there will come a day in healthcare where people will go to the doctor and the first thing doctor will say is, what's going on in your life? What kind of mental and emotional stresses do you have with your kids, with your job, with your parents? Do you have elderly sick parents? What's going on with you emotionally and dealing with that first, because I've seen it so many times in my own practice over the 20 some years I've been in practice, that if people actually would get real and resolve those emotional things first, a vast number of their symptoms would go away. Their fatigue, their blood pressure issues, their headaches, their insomnia. I mean, all of those things are all generated in the body soma in response to the mental, emotional, and spiritual problems that are going on in somebody's life. That if they dealt with that first, that much of what was happening in their body soma would just take care of itself. And what was left over from an osteopathic perspective, we would look at musculoskeletal first, and then look at an inside-out phenomenon next. So just in closing here, we're going to talk a little bit about stats on osteopathy today. I mean, how many DOs are actually out there? Well, there are approximately 63,000 practicing doctors of osteopathic medicine, and they've all learned all this stuff that I've told you. They learned it in medical school. They know these principles. Sadly, many of them just aren't practicing them. The colleges of osteopathic medicine are graduating more and more students each year. More than 4,200 new osteopathic physicians enter the workforce every year. The younger the physicians are, the more likely they are, there's not a guarantee, but more likely they are to practice from these principles because they just graduated and they just learned them and they had to know them in order to pass their board exams. Approximately 20% of medical students are, of all medical students, are trained to being DOs. And actually several years ago, I'm going to say over the maybe the last 10 years, there was a big explosion of osteopathic medical schools. I think we went from 10 to 34, something like that. I should probably know that number. But there are now osteopathic medical schools everywhere, like putting more DOs out into the field. The principal osteopathic physicians work in a partnership with their patients to help them achieve a high level of wellness by focusing on health education, injury prevention, and disease prevention through all the things that we just talked about. I mean, how incredibly important that is to be able to look at all of those things from a preventative standpoint and just not taking a pill to fix the problem. And instead of poisoning the body with those pills and toxic substances, osteopathic medicine was designed to treat the body as a whole and was just as equally revolutionary in 1880 as it kind of is back to what it's supposed to be. You know, I started by saying everybody wants a new healthcare system. We have a system designed already. We just need to use it. It's called osteopathic medicine. So to find a DO, you can go to the American Academy of Osteopathy, which is academyofosteopathy.org, or you can go to the Osteopathic Cranial Academy, which is cranialacademy.org. We're going to talk about cranial things in a future session of 10 Penny Files on your health. That you can look, and all, both of these websites have practitioner locators, so you can put in your website and you can say if you want someone within 5, 10, 25, 50 miles to be able to find a DO. And these are the DOs that generally practice more like osteopaths and osteopathic physicians like we've just described over this period of time. And these are the categories of people that when you go to those websites and you find those physicians that will be more aligned with what we just talked about what being a real osteopath is all about. So with that, I just want to thank you so much for joining me here tonight. These are a couple of things that we are promoting, and you'll see in our commercial here in just a couple of minutes. I do two Substacks a week. One is called On Walking with God. It's on Sunday morning. It's your Sunday morning inspiration. And then on Saturday morning, I release a Substack called Eye on the Evidence. And it's all about taking conventional medical documents and explaining it and putting it into context of how you can use it in your life. We have our own private label supplement line that you can see if you go to shop10penny.com. It's white bottles with green labels. And of course, you can join and become something that really supports us is by becoming a premium podcast member. I do 7 podcasts a week now, and that includes this new show. And we've designed a podcast membership. There's 4 different levels. If you go to drtenpenny.com, that you can click on the podcast area at the top. We have 4 different levels, something that fits your time frame and your budget for everyone. So thank you so much for joining me here tonight. I hope that you will join us at all of our different podcasts that we have, and join me here next week, next Monday night at the same time on Brightian.tv. And I always close out every single one of my broadcasts with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. Thank you much for joining me here tonight. I hope to see you next week at the same place, at the same time, on Brightian.tv for the 10 Penny Files on your health. We have arranged for an exclusive discount so my followers can try my favorite zeolite detox spray, Pure Body Extra, for a huge discount. At drtenpenny.com, under the shop tab, you'll see a tab that says buy zeolite for metal detox. Click on that tab and it will open a page that has a large orange button at the top that says get $50 off. And when you go to that page, you get an option to sign up for the monthly auto ship. And if you do that, you will get your first bottle of zeolite spray for only $13, and that comes with free shipping. When you add that all together, that adds up to an 82% discount. If you like the product, keep the auto ship because you will consistently get 20% off of each order, and you will continue to get free shipping. This is the best way to keep your body clean so it can simply work better. I've been using it to heal some long-standing gum problems that I've had by spraying it in my mouth on my gums every single day, and it's been just amazing. It's a tasteless spray. You use 4 sprays 3 or 4 times a day that it helps to keep your body cleaned out. I've had people ask me so many times, how long do I have to keep taking this and buying this supplement? Well, I'll tell you what, once you find a place on the planet that is clean and you don't have to detox, then I think you can stop it. But for now, I think it's really important to get the metals out of your body. You can find arsenic in tap water. There's mercury in your mouth from fillings, lead paint in older homes. You can get cadmium from jewelry and also from cigarette smoke. There's arsenic that can be in rice and fruit juice, and you can get it in runoff in your water if you have well water and you live out in the country. Pure Body Extra, the zeolite spray, removes all of that. So it's really important for you to use this product, and you can use it when you're pregnant. You can use it with nursing. You can use it with children of all ages. You can even use it with your pets. You can spray a little bit in their water so you can detox your animals so they have a healthier, cleaner, longer life also. So let me say that again. Go to drtenpenny.com under the shop tab, click on the tab that says buy zeolite for metal detox, and then follow the prompts. As a first-time buyer, you'll get a first bottle for only $13. This is a special and exclusive discount just for the drtenpenny.com followers, and thank you so much in advance for participating in this special offer. And if you're going to buy supplements, we encourage you to shop at our store, which is shoptenpenny.com, or you can go directly to drtenpenny.com and go under the shop label. There's also a supplement label. We make it really easy, lots of different ways that you can find us. These supplements are private label supplements, have white bottles with green leaves. That's how you know that those are the special ones that you get the discounts on. If you go to the checkout and use podcast at the checkout, you'll get 10% off consistently all the time. Now, you may get other things that are put into your shopping cart. If they're not private label, you won't get the 10% off, but you will still have great savings if you're using a mixture of our private label supplements and other things that are available in our store. You can also get 10% off at our apparel store by using podcast at checkout. I love our apparel. In fact, I buy stuff from my own store. I get t-shirts and sweatshirts. I wear them at the airport. I have one that says Faith Over Fear. I wear that consistently on the airplane. I always get a lot of thumbs up because then that way you can share your faith with others and get a smile at the same time. We have totes and mugs and t-shirts and sweatshirts that are there. And we're always adding new things because we have a great designer. So be sure to go to drtenpenny.com underneath the shop button. You will be able to see our apparel store. Use podcast at the checkout for 10% off every time you shop. I want to say a word about one of our special sponsors, MyPillow.com. I know Mike Lindell personally, and I know how hard he works day in and day out to do great things for this country. He's made many, many affiliates available for his MyPillow products, and we are proud to be one of the affiliates to this company to support him and to support us. You know, there are more than 200 products available at the MyPillow.com store. So you can find something for a special person, for a special event. You can even find things for your pets at MyPillow.com. Now, we know that there are a lot of affiliates that support Mike Lindell and use this affiliate program. But if you're going to share the love a little bit, use promo code DRT. You can frequently get 60% off, and sometimes they run special deals of 70 and 80% off. So check back frequently. Try shopping first at MyPillow.com and use DRT at the promotional code at checkout.